Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
And you join us in Ballybuffet, which is in sort of the middle of the Donegal constituency. Six of the candidates have come to join me from points north, south, east and west. In alphabetical order they are Peter Casey, Independent, Porter McLaughlin, Sinn Féin, Charlie McConlogue, Fianna Fáil, Joe McHugh, Fianna Gael, Thomas Pringle, Independent and Mary Sweeney of Aintu. So we'll start the questioning in alphabetical order. Peter Casey, you're running here, you're running in Dublin West. You've made personal attacks on Leo Varadkar in Dublin West. Should the people of Donegal be worried that your candidacy is only actually about trolling Fine Gael?
So the only reason I stood in Donegal in Dublin West was to point out to the people of Donegal, of Dublin West, how the policies of Fine Gael have had a disastrous impact on Donegal. You know, so for example, the way they wasted $1.5 billion in the Children's Hospital has an impact on Donegal. That's why we haven't been able to get a sensible solution to the mica crisis. It's why Finn Harps hasn't been able to get their funding.
You have spent tens of thousands of euro on a billboard campaign giving 10 reasons to not vote for Leo Varadkar. Why can't you give people reasons to vote for you?
I have given people reasons to vote for me. I'll be a strong voice for Donegal. I'll be a strong voice in Leinster House and get things done for Donegal, which hasn't happened recently, you know. So
but your messaging is a bit confused. Looking at your posters, your posters all around the county say no to Joe. And I assume that means Joe McHugh. It doesn't say anything else other than Peter Casey.
The reason I said that is because we've had a minister at the cabinet table and we haven't been able to get a stroke unit in Letterkenny Hospital. I mean, we only need seven people to staff a stroke unit. And in 4 years, we haven't been able to get a stroke unit at Letterkenny Hospital. And I said, if I'm elected to Dalairn, there's two red lines in the sand. One is a sensible resolution to make it within 90 days, and Letterkenny has to have a stroke unit. Okay. So those are the two things.
So if the people of Donegal shouldn't be worried that you're just a wealthy man spending your money on trolling Fine Gael, should the people of Dublin West be worried that you're just a wealthy man spending your money on trolling Fine Gael?
I think people in Dublin West need to understand that the disastrous policies of Fine Gael have had a really big impact on not just Dublin West, but on rural Ireland. And that's the thing that they listen to Leo Varadkar the other night saying that they have solved Brexit, halfway towards solving Brexit. Brexit hasn't even started yet. Brexit starts the day Boris Johnson implements his quota system. And that means that everybody who went to the UK, 250,000 people last year who went to the UK, the only other English-speaking country that they can go to is going to be Ireland. And we haven't got the infrastructure here in Ireland to accommodate 250,000 people.
Joe McHugh, Fine Gael, do you want to say thank you to Peter Casey for putting your name on his posters?
Peter's having his campaign and his style of negative politics, I'm not interested. What I'm standing on is my track record. The two issues that he talked about there, in particular mica, we've signed off on it, it's in law. It's a €0.6 billion scheme, and Donegal County Council and Mayo County Council have the powers now to implement that. That's going to happen. He also mentioned the stroke unit, the Celta Group, the HSE, the Department of Health and local management are working through that, and we have enough commitments within this Lantacare programme to ensure that there will be adequate staffing for that, but they have to work through that yet.
When the history of this campaign is written, the decision to commemorate the RIC is going to prove to have been pretty influential. How big a mistake was that?
Look, it was obviously a big mistake because there was never any intention to have a state commemoration. There was obviously everything was brought into it about the black and tans. There was absolutely no plan. There was no plan to have a state commemoration. And I think
was your party's decision then to do that?
Well, it was the expert group were very clear, and I've spoken to many people since that, and I've spoken to the chair of the committee, and they had never had any plans or suggestion to have a state commemoration. But we also have to be conscious of the fact we have to know our history, we have to acknowledge our history, warts and all, but we've to learn from those lessons. And
when was it a major misreading of the mood in the country by Fine Gael, and just symptomatic of how out of touch you are?
No, I'll say it again. It was a mistake. It was wrong. We have to learn from those lessons, but we still have to commemorate. We've had a 10-year decade of commemoration. We're going to have a lot of more sensitive periods as well in relation to civil war, and we have to ensure that we're inclusive and ensure everybody's voice is heard. But it's important from a historical point of view, and you know, Philip, Philip and the listeners know my own commitment to history and in having history as a core subject on the junior cycle curriculum. We have to be honest and mature enough and confident enough to talk about our past.
Very clever pivot there. Well done. We saw what you did. Pádraic McLoughlin, Sinn Féin. You're supposed to be about reaching out, hands across the sectarian divide. Would you have commemorated the RIC?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because the role of the RIC from the famine that we had enforcing...
150 years ago, yeah.
No, the role of the RIC, let's be clear, in the famine and in the mass evictions in this county and all across the state, in upholding an oppressive state, in working in tandem with the black and tans to repel the democratic wishes of the Irish people, that is not something we should celebrate. There were proposals about having a conference and talking about their role in history.
At what point, Pádraic, does Sinn Féin honour our history and stop being bound by it?
The organising committee that were being tasked with advising the government, Dermot Farrador has made it clear what they were talking about. It was having a conference that was talking about the role of the RIC and having an honest assessment. We have to certainly, you know, remember our history, but not celebrate a despised, police force that enforced the oppressive rule of British history.
Charlie McConlough, Fianna Fáil. Micheál Martin says that somebody signed him up to the National Women's Council manifesto by accident, that it was a mistake. If that was his excuse, what's yours?
Yeah, I didn't sign up to that. I think anybody can go on.
Your name is on it.
I think anybody can go onto that website, actually, Philip, if you check and sign up, and I informed them of that as well. And listen, to deal with the issues, we're in Donegal here today.
No. I want to deal with this issue because it does actually raise questions in people's minds about the trustworthiness of Fianna Fáil. That manifesto committed Micheál Martin to a range of different things, from rent freezes to 8% emissions cuts to the ending of direct provision to introducing a living wage, and you don't have any of those things in your manifesto.
I've answered that question already, and if you want to go and check with them, you'll see that I clarified that with them.
But your name is still up. Why won't they take it down then?
Ask them that, because they've been told I didn't sign up to it. Obviously, anybody can go on and sign up on our behalf, and that's what happened there. So that's the end of that particular matter.
Well, no, it's not, because somebody in Fianna Fáil decided that your leader should be signed up to it when there were things in it that weren't in your manifesto.
Listen, Philip, if an organisation decides they can put up a petition which anybody can go in and sign up on behalf of anyone else, that's a matter you should direct the questions to them about.
Micheál Martin says somebody in Fianna Fáil or administration signed him up. Not talking about any member of the public that did this. It speaks, doesn't it, of Fianna Fáil being prepared to say anything to anyone to get back into power?
Certainly not. And we have a very clear message in this campaign, Philip, and it's about actually ensuring that there's a change of government. And we're the only party that can actually deliver that. And we've all, over the last number of years, we've held the government to account. We've delivered stability when Brexit was required. But our focus is in relation to actually getting Fine Gael out of power and to actually ensuring that Fianna Fáil can go in to deal with the many issues that we have in this country and which the government have failed on. Issues such as housing and such as health at national level. And that's also the case here at local level in relation to Letterkenny Hospital, for example, where the government have continuously underinvested in it. In relation to housing here in this county as well, where we haven't seen the type of social housing we need, and where the mica issue, which is actually where the defective blocks, mica defective blocks, actually is the biggest issue in this county from a housing point of view. There's 5,000 homeowners affected by it. We in opposition, and I in opposition, pushed as hard as I possibly could to try and drive this issue forward. We got a commitment in relation to some funding, but the government have failed to deliver the scheme. Okay. Only last week did we see, in the midst of an election campaign, some movement in that regard. And what we want to do now in Fianna Fáil, not only here in Donegal with my colleague Pat the Cope Gallagher, but also nationally, is to bring about the change of government that's going to be required to ensure that not only can we have a good economy, but we can have a country which actually serves its citizens and which delivers the type of public services, housing and health which they deserve.
Mary Sweeney, why didn't you sign up to the National Women Council's manifesto?
I don't need to affirm my views on women's and women's rights and women's... my track record's there. I'm very much in support of mothers and women and education in the workforce and supporting them work from home, which has not been done by any of these parties. I want to support the mother to have a choice of how much time she can spend with her family or the father, whichever is the most prudent.
Let's actually talk about that one, project a little bit forward into the future here. You are the Family Values Party, or that's how you style yourselves anyway. If you were elected and in the next Dáil there was to be a referendum, during the lifetime of the next government, there was to be a referendum on the place of the woman in the home, what would your position be on that?
the place of the woman in the home, that's the choice for the woman to make. That's a real choice.
But would you remove it from the Constitution, or how would you decide to change it?
You're giving me a very vague thing. Are you on about a woman as a mother? Are you a woman as a worker, as an employee? What type of woman are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the provisions in the Constitution, the line in the Constitution that says that the place of the woman is in the home.
Many women have ran great businesses from the home and reared great families from the home. You're implying a derogatory context in the term home.
I'm just asking you what your position on a referendum would be. Have you heard about this referendum, proposed referendum?
I haven't heard about the proposed referendum.
All right, well, then let me ask you another issue that seems to be one of the signature into issues, and that is pro-life values. Is the issue closed? Is the issue of abortion closed? Or, if elected, would you try and repeal?
Can I tell you, there's 85% of women going forward because of socioeconomic reasons. That's a shame on this government, that women feel they have no other option. Where's the support? Where's the money for these women? Where's the homes for these ladies? Really, it's a disgrace. 80% rise in Cork looking for mental health. I have a huge, huge issue that nobody's addressing.
It is an issue, but it's a deflection of my question as well. Would you seek to repeal in the next Dáil if you're elected?
You get me in and you'll watch what I'll do.
No, I'm asking you what you'll do.
If I get in, I'll make up my mind with the facts in front of me.
So you're not prepared to tell the people of Donegal what you would do if elected?
If elected, I have to wait to be elected to see what's in front of me, and I'm not afraid to stand up and read. With history, with politics, we have to read the fine print, boys. And really, until I would see the fine print on the table, I couldn't make an informed decision now.
Pádraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin, why was it so hard to get Conor Murphy to apologise to Breed Quinn for calling Paul Quinn a criminal?
Well, my understanding is that Mary Lou McDonald clarified with Conor Murphy his exact comments at that time, and they have agreed that it was appropriate, and I welcome that Conor Murphy...
Having apparently been misled by Conor Murphy as to what he did say in the past or didn't say in the past previously, no?
No, she wasn't misled. Now, in fairness, I was the spokesperson for Justice for Sinn Féin, and I didn't recall him making the comments that have been reported. And I have to say, I welcome the apology. They were totally inappropriate comments that he made at the time, and it was right that he made apology today.
How far did you go into the past in scrutinising this, though? Back in 2015, I interviewed Breed Quinn, and off the back of that and her making the same complaints that she's making today, I went to Sinn Féin, and you said in 2015, or a spokesperson said, didn't happen. Conor Murphy never said that. And he now had to be effectively dragged kicking and screaming to acknowledging, yes, I did say that. I did put this poor family through absolute hell for 13 years.
What he said was completely wrong, and he absolutely should have apologised, as he has done today. What happened to Paul Quinn was absolutely evil. The people responsible were despicable criminal thugs, and that family had gone through enough, so it was wrong to have said what he said, and I'm glad that he's apologised for it.
And should we be worried that there seems to be a different way of treating Sinn Féin representatives of the older era by comparison to people of yourself and Pearce's vintage?
No, in fairness to Conor Murphy, I mean, Conor has been repeatedly elected by the people of Newry and South Armagh, and, you know, he has been a diligent, hard-working representative. He's also been somebody...
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is the effort, the enormous effort that had to be made to get him to own up to what he said.
No, I don't accept that. What I believe is what happened is that Mary Lou, had an understanding, which I would have had, that he didn't make those comments. But when it was clarified in the last 24 hours or so what exactly he had said, it was right that Mary Lou and Conor had agreed he needed to apologise absolutely for what had been said at that time.
Should he resign?
No, I don't think he should resign. And I'll tell you why. Because there's really important work that needs to be done in the North, and he has been a diligent representative for the community of Newry, South Armagh.
Charlie McConlogue, isn't it true that this episode has been a useful stick to beat Sinn Féin with, when the actual truth about Sinn Féin is not that there are some kind of sinister connections there, that most of them are actually the new generation of highly professional parliamentarians?
Well, listen, I mean, from a Fianna Fáil point of view, we're not looking to beat anyone. with an e-stick, Philip. Our focus is very much...
No, you aren't in this constituency because you need their transfers, but that's not the picture nationally.
Across the country, you'll find the same. Our message, Philip, has very much been about putting forward the fact that Fianna Fáil is the party that can deliver and form a new government, and a government which will deliver in a way that on the issues that the country have been failed on. And Micheál Martin and our spokespersons right across this campaign have been coming out in relation to whether it's housing, in relation to whether it's health, in relation to whether it's the economy or agriculture, in my instance, in relation to putting forward a very positive platform on each of those issues. And our objective will be, if we get the mandate from the public come next Saturday, to get into power, to form a new government, and to ensure that public services are prioritised while ensuring that our economy can be protected and maintained. And we have, alongside that, obviously looked at other parties' manifestos and pointed out issues in relation to Sinn Féin's in terms of
how the economy can be maintained. The car alarm suggests you should probably be dealing with rural crime or crime in Ballybuffet anyway, but let's just talk to Thomas Pringle about it. Thomas, what's the point in voting for an independent candidate now in this election, given that the mathematics means that what's going to matter here in the shake-up is the big parties?
Well, thanks, Philip, and thanks for remembering that I'm here, because you've gone to everybody
you
else
get
before.
Get extra special time and attention. Don't worry, Thomas.
And that's the problem that independents have all the time. But if you look at the track record that independents have had in the last Dáil, and myself in particular as well, I brought forward and passed legislation in the Dáil on climate change, which got the unanimous support of all the parties. Thankfully, the government came on board when it was obvious that everybody else was going to support it and it's going to be passed. And in fact, Leo Varadkar actually cites it as a success of the Fine Gael government now, which I suppose is kind of flattery by extension in relation to that. So independents can do a very real job and a very real process, and I would hope to continue on that process because that's vitally important. And I would hope as well that we would be actually forming an alternative government that without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, because that is what the people need.
Well, do you say that because you have in the past rejected the overtures of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and you're probably inclined to do the same thing again?
I say that because I've been up there in the Dáil and I've seen the behaviour of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and I've seen what they do for the Irish people, which is nothing. And I've seen that since 1927, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have either been in power or the leaders of the opposition in this country, and that's the only consistent thing in this country has been that. And we have seen where that has led us. Now we have a real opportunity for change. There's a real opportunity for a left-wing coalition government to actually take power in this country.
Is there really? I mean, do the maths on it. Even with the wind behind Sinn Féin's sails to the extent that it is, adding in Labour, Greens and Sock Dems, you're still a long way short of the finishing line.
We're no further away from the finishing line than Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil are. You know, and that's the reality of the situation. But the thing is that if we come together, we can provide an alternative. And it's an alternative that the Irish people, I think, have shown through this campaign that they want, because they are fed up with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and what the constant machinations that they do of seemingly being two different parties, when actually they're both two sides of the same coin.
Okay. Let's talk there about something that was identified by Micheál Martin earlier on today, the extent to which the manifestos of, well, particularly Fine Gael, seems to have overpromised Joe McHugh. Fianna Fáil's analysis is that there's 152 spending promises and you've only costed 30 of them.
Well, Micheál must have time out to sit down and he should take the time out and study his own manifesto, because between typos and only putting in, I think they're only coming up with 2 billion for extra in health. We're going to have 5 billion extra for health. And one of the things that we've done, we've looked over the 5-year term. We've looked at public service pay money that's needed, 2 billion. We've also looking at recruiting an extra 5,000 nurses. So every single item.
And we credit you for solving crime, because the car alarm has said, I spoke too soon. Let's talk, though, about what has been identified. You've only costed 30 of the 170 spending proposals.
Well, he's not.
You're supposed to be the party of fiscal rectitude and responsible government.
He's not correct in he's definitely not correct, because I had responsibility to go through my own department. We worked in terms of putting together the manifesto. It didn't start last week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago like Fianna Fáil. We've been at this now for 6 months. We've been working through it, and each line minister did that as well. So it's not correct in what he's saying. We have costed it, and we've also ensured by highlighting the
fact that 11 billion euro extra that Sinn Féin are promising, which is magic money, which the Department of Finance can't stand over, and it takes 11 billion euro to run my department or the Department of Education. So what's Sinn Féin doing in terms of the promises that they're doing is, you know, where are they getting this 11 billion from?
Pádraic McLoughlin, Sinn Féin, it doesn't take long in any of these debates before we get to the magic money allegations against Sinn Féin. And Fianna Fáil's analysis is 345 spending promises in your manifesto and only 87 of them have been costed.
All I can say to you is that Piers Doherty is our spokesperson on finance. Every year he produces an alternative budget. Every year we're the only party that actually costs our alternative budget. So when we say how much money we'd spend on health, housing, childcare, etc., we show where we get the money from. And it's the same with this manifesto. So I dispute Fianna Fáil's claim.
Charlie?
Yeah, well, I think you're right there, Philip, to point out those issues, because whenever a party is putting itself forward to actually form a government, it's essential that they cost everything and that everything adds up and it's built on a foundation where it can be an economy that can be sustained, that we can ensure growth happens, but also in terms of the commitments that you're making, that you have fully costed them. And we have done that in our manifesto across every line item. And if you look at, you know, and it's something I pointed out in a couple of debates here locally over the course of the election campaign, for example, in relation to the Fair Deal scheme, where there's a commitment, there's been a oral commitment given by both Fine Gael and Sinn Féin in that regard, in terms of actually changes for small businesses and for farming families. We are the only party that actually has set aside 240 million euro in our manifesto to ensure that that actually can happen and it can be introduced. And likewise, for example, on the issue of MICA in Donegal here, which hasn't been delivered, we see, despite Piers Doherty being the finance spokesperson for Sinn Féin, there isn't one mention of MICA in the Sinn Féin manifesto. So there's lots of holes in both the Fine Gael manifesto and the Sinn Féin manifesto. And we in Fianna Fáil have been absolutely crystal clear in ensuring that the platform we're putting to the public can ensure that, that it keeps the economy going, that it grows the economy, but it very much focuses on public services, on health and on housing and in terms of delivering on those. And we have costed every item that we're committing to in that regard.
And you definitively have solved crime, because unfortunately that alarm ends now. Just as I am out of time and I have to hand back to Dublin, we still have a few minutes left to go. We got the time wrong there. Joe McHugh, do you want to come back at Charlie McConnell, what he was saying about your costings?
Look, Charlie and his comrades in Fianna Fáil, they point to history. We all point to history. We have to learn from the mistakes of the past. But past performance is a very good indicator of future performance. And if we consider...
What about present performance? I mean, people look at 450,000 being spent on consultants to find out why there were overruns in the children's hospital. And they say to themselves, that's what Fine Gael is about.
Look, people will point to the fact we're in power for 9 years, but the reality is we've only had money and finances to do the things to put money into public services in the last 2.5 years. So what I would say in terms of people who are making their mind up for Saturday and on Saturday, if there's a wind of change and if people are thinking on change, change is Fianna Fáil back in charge of the tiller. Change is Fianna Fáil in charge of your finances and, again, in charge of your future. And that is cyclical. It's Fianna Fáil have always been the party that will spend big during the times when we have money, but don't think in the future. So we have been prudent. Pascal Donoghue, when I sat down with him in the budget before October, he was very insistent.
No
it was
no
on s- uncertain
the
times with Brexit, uncertain time with Brexit, but he was prudent, and we will continue
all
on
right.
that path.
Thank you all very much. You have been listening to Peter Casey, Independent, Pádraic McLoughlin, Sinn Féin, Charlie McConlog of Fianna Fáil, Joe McHugh of Fine Gael, Thomas Pringle, Independent, and Mary Sweeney of Aintu. Also running in Donegal, but not here this evening, Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin, Pat the Cope, Gallagher, Fianna Fáil, Martin Harley, Fine Gael, Niall McConnell, Independent, Arthur McGuinness, Independent, John O'Donnell, Independent, and Michael White of the Green Party. Thank you very much to Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet, without whom we would not have gotten on air this evening. We are in the constituency of Dublin North West. Tomorrow, talk to you then.